Hello and welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the first solo album from Dan Bechner of Wolf Parade, Divine Fits, and other bands. It's called Bechner with an exclamation point, and the first song is called Lose.
I felt my life cave sideways, living blind in isolation, and I'm feeling nothing. Every star.
Familiar with Dan Bechner, he co-founded Wolf Parade with Spencer Krug in Montreal 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago now, about the time that Arcade Fire was coming up in Montreal as well, and they were kind of the twin stars of that music scene at the time. Wolf Parade has always been one of my favorite bands, and in fact, in preparation for listening to this, for recording this podcast, I went back and listened to Apologies to the Queen Mary again, and it's like every song on that record is perfect, and it's still perfect.
Yeah, it's that I guess he had been doing music for, you know, professionally for a few years, and then just, you know, really knocked out of the park with that album, and has on some level just keeps doing different stuff, and the number of different side projects, like a career made of side projects, one would say.
What most notably, Divine Fits with Britt Daniel of Spoon, we got to see live, and they were fantastic.
Yeah, and so this is, but after what, almost a quarter century, finally saying, okay, now I'm going to do my solo record.
My first solo record.
And it's, I don't know quite what I expected, but the familiar, that voice and the cleverness, but then everything else about it being this synth driven, almost, you know, almost like a pop record in that sense. Cause like, hey, where are the guitars? And eventually there's
a lot of guitars,
but it's so drowned out by the synths to my mind especially on this track, I think less so on others. But I think interestingly, I guess he worked with the synths and the production are by Randall Dunn, who's worked with a ton of people, but insanely, probably the loudest band that I've ever seen live, Sun or Sun O. I don't know how to pronounce all those symbols. Yeah, exactly. I think it's just pronounced Sun, but they are one of just insane, sludgy noise metal. And this is not what I expected. But then there is a maximalism here. The number of different sounds where so many different synths and layered upon layered upon layered. I mean, it's a little overwrought, super overdriven guitars. Like what guitars there are completely blown out. And then we've got sort of dueling horn solos at the end of the track for reasons. It's really fun, but it's a lot to listen to, especially this is my first, often as happens when we're about to do the podcast, I'm like, oh, I'll throw on my really good headphones and holy crap, there's so much more going on than I thought.
Well, and it's maximalist and there's a lot of dissonance and weird, unsettling synths in the background and a very noisy sound as well. And in fact, Brad Lehner is one of the guitarists who worked on this record, and he played with Medicine, and apparently Medicine was one of Dan Bechner's favorite bands, and they sent him a track and asked if he would play on that track, and he said, actually, I would like to play more on this album, and so he contributed a lot. So my point is there's a lot of noise and a lot of sort of chaotic synths, but it has such a pop feel because he's so great at writing melodies And I think he has a very interesting but melodic voice that it draws you in and it holds the record together.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, the record gets started with a bang, so much noise, so much speed. It's a really up-tempo energy. And then coming into the second track, slows down a little bit to a more of a mid-tempo, a little less noisy, but still a lot going on. It's a track called Ghost in the Mirror. You are a victim of missing time, phantom days, whirling down the line. You never know what you find out there. Sometimes dreams dissolve in the air. Sometimes dreams dissolve in the air.
On the trip, it's the end of it. 5 days just pass us by. Pass us by.
So this song brings back those horns that I talked about dueling at the end of Lose. And I know that a lot of critics, and I also think like, oh yeah, that's such
Don't head off the way that I'm going to make fun of you, but yes, go ahead.
But no, but it's that on the one level, I'm like, oh, this is very much like the 80s Bruce Springsteen sound, but it is, I think, less derivative than some of the other more kind of direct quotations you might hear from some, like Jack Antonoff does on that latest Bleachers record.
Yeah, my joke was that it's the lazy rock criticism comment du jour that everything with horns in it sounds like Bruce Springsteen. But I think the quality of his voice and the pace of the drumming actually does give this song a real Springsteen feel.
Yeah, I do want to call out the drumming, which is consistently incredibly strong mm-hmm. on this record. This song actually starts with basically just this kick drum really establishing the rhythm. And these are from Matt Chamberlain, who is a drummer who has played with a billion different artists.
Played with David Bowie and Fiona Apple.
Yeah. But hilariously, in a lot of places, you'll see him referred to as former drummer for Pearl Jam. And you'll say, wait, what? And it turns out, yeah, he was in the band for like 3 weeks. But that will forever tar you as a former Pearl Jam drummer.
Maybe someone had an injury and he was subbing in.
I think he was in there just at the right time to be in one of their huge videos they blew up. So he's forever in his history. But he is phenomenal here. Tremendous variety, tremendous strength. And I think that Dan Buchner has a kind of spacey and it's not a sharp voice. Mm-hmm. And so having a drummer who is really establishing a firm rhythm and firm boundaries to these songs really, I think, is a great counterpoint to his work.
Yeah, he also came up with this approach of triggering a vintage ARP synthesizer simultaneously with each drum track to create this kind of this sound that's very percussive, but it also sounds organic and weird. I don't know. When I was coming into this podcast and thinking about what to say, it's like there's so many things that I can't quite describe that are making weird sounds that are synthesizers or very processed guitars, but it comes together to just sound very weird, but also super accessible and poppy.
Yeah. And it sounds so accessible and poppy, even as it feels very timeless and not specifically referential. But even so, this is, I think, a song where we're starting to get into some of the themes of the record lyrically. And a lot of these songs are kind of about notions of life being ephemeral and time being finite. And there's just these songs, very deliberate stuff about things dissolving in the air and what'll be here after we're gone. And so there is really, you know, grappling with time and our finite place in it.
I think there's also a lot of, you know, themes of this modern world and how we're getting caught up in technology and everything else that's kind of destroying our minds. The also apocalyptic concept of being sort of at the end of human existence.
Yeah, it's a fun record.
Yeah. So it's like these kind of dark and intense themes, but it comes across as so, you know, there's these great sing-along choruses and it's very accessible.
Yeah, so we'll go continue to explore those themes with even more playful percussion on the next track. It's called Wrong.
Hard time editing that track in because there are it's one of those songs that just keeps going and doesn't let up through the whole course of the song. There's not a lot of in and out points, but that's what gives it such energy. And one of the things I was thinking about when listening to this is that in an interview, Beckner had said that Randall Dunn is, you know, who produced the album, is somebody he had met while contributing to the soundtrack to the Nicolas Cage psychedelic horror film Mandy. And they really clicked, and he says, working with Randall really unlocks some suppressed musical urges, things that I enjoy in my private life but don't normally weave into what I'm releasing, like occult synth, pseudo-metal, krautrock, and heavy psych influences. And my impression with this song is it's got all these weird things. I don't know what occult synth is, but a lot of these weird influences and vocal effects that are add a lot of texture and vibes to the song, but it doesn't detract from it being a pretty upbeat kind of poppy song that, and I'm sorry, I keep saying poppy, but a very conventionally melodic song.
Yeah. I mean, the combination of that really percussive synth sound and all of these kind of sounding like just banging on glasses, pots and pans and glasses. And, you know, the last track I was like, oh, this reminds me of Springsteen. And this one's very much like some of those Cure songs. I felt like had that similar balance of weird percussion and synth. Yeah. And so it's really, again, maybe that's the sort of impulse, but yeah, that it's that dipping into these influences without just being a quotation, but rather being inspired and continuing to feel timeless. And similarly, again, drawing the themes of time and here really lots of water and nature imagery of like being in water and swimming in the ocean and wind and snow. There's just a lot of that kind of the power of nature, and it's implacable, but he soldiers on.
Yeah. So, I mean, Dan Beckner's lyrics have always been a little bit opaque, but there's a lot of great imagery in there.
Yeah. So we go here to another song that has playful percussion and water and nature imagery, and it's called Don't Worry Baby.
House roots on the ship of fools, we drift so vacant, far from the shore again. But who cares? It's Easter everywhere, and in the cracks along the street, strange flowers rise to greet the shining air. And oh my, don't worry baby, we will fly through strange days. Oh, and oh my, don't worry baby, I feel the
this is a pretty short record. There are 8 tracks. It comes in just over half an hour. And I feel like most of the songs are very efficient. Like, there's a lot going on, but there's not a lot of space. I mean, especially on that last track, which was so unrelenting, just kept going and going and going. And this is one of the songs that I feel like has, in some ways, the least going on. There's just sort of verse, chorus, and then a full minute and a half of just weird instrumental ending in about 30 seconds of just different noise blasts fighting with each other at the end of the song.
I think there's a lot going on.
Yeah, but in terms of like structurally, it's very simple. But then in some ways, that's these lyrics about just like, oh, I just want to live in the moment. It's Easter and there's possibility. And it's all of this very much like, don't worry about it. The world will happen. And then the song ends with he finishes giving those messages and then it gets kind of darker and scarier, but still beautiful in its way.
What I took from the song is it has so much crunchiness. Even his vocals have crunchiness. And there's this very unsettling high-pitched synth whine that comes in and out. And the feeling I get from it is a great juxtaposition of the message of don't worry, baby, and this very unsettling, noisy instrumentation. And then the lyrics also go a little bit off the rails. It's like, don't worry, we'll return again to flame or something like that. It's all just kind of, it seems very apocalyptic of like, basically like, don't worry, the world is ending, but like, it's fine. And I really liked the way that as a complete package, as a song, sends that message in a way that I obviously just tried to convey it in words, and not that I'm the most articulate person, but it's conveyed in words much less effectively than it is conveyed through the means of this song as a complete package.
No, it is powerful. And yeah, it has simultaneously, and you know, sometimes my notes don't really make a lot of sense, but just I described the guitar tone, this super overdriven, as simultaneously cheerful and mournful.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think is the duality of the song. And it's,
which is kind of, you could say that about his voice as well. It's very low tone. I really like his voice. But it's very low and a little bit gravelly, but like it's pretty at times, but it also can sound very grim and flat.
Yeah. So we go from this, yeah, this sort of, I think, very ambiguous and expansive track into a song that's maybe a little just straightforwardly dark and claustrophobic. It's called Dead Tourists.
Dead Tourists. Are just out of luck. Dead tourists are in the spotlight for days. Dead tourists asking me how much it pays.
I wanted to include the part of that track that opens with what sounds like a harpsichord, which I assume is a synth harpsichord, because if you'll remember the last time we talked about Dan Bechner, and I assume you do remember because you listened to every single episode very attentively
and take detailed notes,
is that when we talked about the Kiwi Junior album Chopper, it was produced by Dan Bechner, and then Dan Bechner co-wrote this song with guitarist vocalist Jeremy Gaudet of Kiwi Junior, and the harpsichord synth brought me back to the song Parasite 2 off that Kiwi Junior album. And this song has that plus the jangly guitar. And I really feel like I feel the Kiwi Junior influence on this track.
Yeah, it's a fun track and a nice change of pace. I think there's a pretty consistent sound, even as it's varied. And this one kind of goes to a different place. I think a lot of the songs sound cheerful, even as they're discussing heavy stuff. And this one just sounds kind of darker and scarier. I also love how that guitar, I thought it was a guitar, but I think you're right, it's some kind of synth harpsichord, how it initially drops completely out and you feel like, ah, this was a bait and switch. And then later it kind of sneaks back in during the choruses. And you're like, oh, okay, this actually makes sense. That wasn't just a weird fake. So it's a really fun track, even if I'm not going to say that I feel like, oh, I really get how this is thematically tied into the rest of the record.
Yeah, the lyrics are particularly opaque and weird. I have no idea what this song is supposed to be about, but all of the lines are just these little snippets of weird, futuristic, dark texture. Like, the cattle have eyes fashioned of steel. What does that even mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff implying, and then it's like talking about, oh, these, maybe they got in a car crash and they see the cows, but yeah, are they freaking out? And all sorts of weird stuff about like how they're celebrating these tourists who are like, they have beers named after them or they're being talked about on the radio. It's all really strange stuff.
Well, and the opening line is dead tourists are at the window looking for his holiday. And so it's like, is that a ghost? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it's spooky. It's fun. I'm not going to dig too deep, but I'm glad that it brings some variety to the record.
So the next song we'll talk about is called Return to Life.
I had a dream. I stood by the sea, watching the waves retreating from me. Now everyone's gone.
On this track, Dan Buechner really gets his David Bowie on with these vocals, especially in that second verse. And it's such a weird song that's structurally just a sequence of, it's just verse, 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 and then it ends. It doesn't really have choruses. It doesn't really have structure. It just has this sort of increasing doom as he keeps the message of, oh, we'll return to life again, which is so hopeful with all of these images of doom and global warming and just everything's going to hell, but we'll just try again. It'll be great.
Yeah, along with these great, pretty kind of falsetto vocals, I think this is the only track that just has a plain acoustic guitar on it, and it sounds so lovely. And why are you making that face?
Well, I think that interlude is like a super overdriven guitar.
Okay.
So it's maybe the contrast between those. But yeah, we kind of come in with a lovely guitar and then this totally dark, scary guitar.
But I mean, that it's just such a, by introducing these kind of more traditional elements in contrast with everything else that we've been hearing on the record, is a great mix too.
Yeah. So after this incredibly like simple in structure song, we go to, in my mind, one of the most complicated and ambitious tracks. It's the penultimate track, Euphoria.
Song, because it's multiple parts and it's so ambitious, and it's really a great, it would have been a great album closer, except that I think the last song on the album is a great way to end.
Yeah, I think it's good to give people a little bit of a to catch your breath and let that sink in, because this is so expansive. And just even the change of tone where we've got, I mean, structurally, I think it's sort of like verse, pre-chorus. And then, oh, we've got a 20-second electronic noise blast as the entire song deconstructs itself and comes back as this incredibly propulsive drive to the finish line. And I think that's perfect for the theme of, at the beginning, it's like, oh, you know, I'm just kind of trying to ignore my own mortality. I'm just kind of enjoying life and it's sort of lonely, but that's okay. And then boom, 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 time accelerates and we're all doomed. But it's such an like indictment of modern culture. And it's so, yeah, it's so much in so little.
Beckner has said that the reason he waited to make a solo album is because he likes being in bands, but also it's like being in all these bands with different people who had different ideas helped him kind of figure out what his sound as an artist is. And this, he felt like this is really a statement of like, okay, all of the songs I've written up until now are leading up to like, this is my statement as an artist. And, you know, this is the sound that I want to create.
Yeah. If this album is that statement, and then I feel like this song is the statement of the album, it's really quite something. And yeah, I didn't know what to expect coming into this record, and this was not it, but I'm so glad that Dan Beckner had this in him.
Yeah, there are other Dan Beckner projects that have never really moved me. Like Handsome Furs and Operators were never heavy in my rotation, but he has such a great musical sensibility and such a wide variety of influences that he has really brought this all together to make an interesting, somewhat challenging, like it could have been challenging because it's so noisy and dissonant, but it's actually just very listenable. And I found myself listening to it over and over again.
Yeah, I find the album earns its exclamation point in a lot of different ways, because I feel like it is emphatically musically impressive. It is ambitious and challenging, exclamation point. And it's also, I feel like for all of the serious topics here, it doesn't feel heavy. It feels like a light and unselfconscious in a way, like the exclamation point is almost playful. It's he's poking fun at himself even as he's putting out this impressive music.
He said it was a nod to German krautrock pioneers Neu! Exclamation point, of which he says, you know, they mean business. They're excited about their band and their album. And by the way, if you're hungry for more Wolf Parade derived content, Spencer Krug, who was the other half of Wolf Parade, his other side project, Sunset Rubdown, is coming out with a new album in something like the first new album in something like 15 years. So we can look forward to that as well.
Woot.
So the last song on the record is called Holy is the Night. And you'll see what I mean, and that I think it was a good Euphoria, the penultimate peak. And then this is a nice come down. So we'll play that as we're going out. We've been discussing Dan Beckner's first solo record, Beckner! And you've been listening to For the Record. Thanks so much for listening.
How many days left here before us? After the plague, nothing but blue sky. There must be a trick to living that we've both forgotten. Holy is the night. Holy is the night. Holy is the night. We get some peace. Smashed every glass here in the kitchen. Taking the train down to the 6 again.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.